Good morning, everybody. I'm going to be presenting on a survey that we did last fall in collaboration with the School of Public Health and in collaboration with our local health department. I wanted to acknowledge my other contributors who couldn't be here today. David Jimeno, who's a professor at the UT School of Public Health, and Mario Martinez, who's the director of our teen pregnancy prevention program in San Antonio. I don't have anything to disclose. So basically, surveys have repeatedly demonstrated that parents overwhelmingly support school-based teen pregnancy prevention programming, which sort of begs the question, why do we do this survey? I'll get to it in a second. But perception remains that some communities are more resistant to programming that includes information on condoms and contraception. And if you've ever done any work on this field, you know that you can present people with 100 surveys that say, really, I swear, all parents are supportive of school-based teen pregnancy prevention, and you get, but our parents are different. Okay, your parents are different. So local decision makers often want local data. In this case, the health department had been working for several years at trying to get evidence-based programming into several school districts and kept running into this same problem, which was, well, our parents are different. Our parents are Catholic. Our parents are immigrants. They're not going to be like your other parents. And so over the years that we had worked with the health department, they finally said, like, well, hey, you guys know how to do surveys. Can you help us with this? And we said, yes. So just as sort of a brief demonstration of what I'm talking about, these are a whole bunch of different surveys that were done on parent preferences for school-based teen pregnancy prevention programming. And what you can see is that basically over 85% of parents consistently say that they want school-based teen pregnancy prevention programming provided to their children. We presented this data to the school district. It made no difference, so we had to go for something else. Bexar County, which is where San Antonio is located, is starting to get into South Texas. Texas, as pretty much everyone knows, is huge. Bexar County is sort of the gateway to South Texas. We're the largest city before you start getting into the border cities. We have 1.59 million residents. 50% speak English at home, 40% speak Spanish at home. 90% of folks live in the urban part of Bexar County, and 63.2% of our residents are Hispanic. Among childbearing women, that number is closer to about 72 to 73%. And our births in Bexar County are kind of located in what we call a bullseye, where we have the majority of our residents giving birth in kind of the center of the county. This strongly correlates to where our poverty is distributed as well. And in our birth by ethnicity, what you can see is that our Hispanic birth rate is the main driver of births in San Antonio and for the county in general. We've had a slight decrease in the number of births or the birth rate to Hispanic women over the past 10 years, but as they are the majority of the population, they are the main driver in our birth rates. And to teens, you can see there's a similar overlap. San Antonio and Bexar County in general have a higher teen birth rate than most of the United States, and this is a trend that's continued for decades. So when we look at the birth rates for teen women by zip code, what you can see is that similar bullseye effect. I didn't put the map up here, but this overlaps almost identically with where the poverty is distributed in our community. The district that we're going to be looking at is this very small district inside San Antonio. San Antonio has 17 independent school districts, which makes getting health policy passed in our area very difficult. Each one of the school districts has to vote on their own school-based programming, which means if we have to go district by district to do this, I'm going to get really good at doing these surveys. But what you can see is that the district that we're looking at has 3 to 4 times the national rate. The district that we did this survey in actually is the second highest in San Antonio. The district with the highest rate of adolescent births used this data, though, in their decision-making process. So the local health department, like I said, had initiated an effort to increase evidence-based teen pregnancy prevention programming in local schools. They identified two districts as the highest priority. These were the two districts that both had the highest rates of teen births and the highest number of teen births. They'd been working with these districts for several years, actually well over a decade in one case, and they'd gotten to the point where they would sort of get to let's adopt a new curriculum, and then the pushback would actually be at the administrative level, where the administration really felt like if they implemented an evidence-based program that included discussions of condoms, that they would get a lot of outraged parents. So they asked us to do this survey. It's a small district. There's only 57,000 residents. There's only 7,000 students. It's a poor district. 46% of the children live in poverty, and the median household income is $26,000 a year. 95% of the residents are Hispanic. 75% speak Spanish at home. 84%, however, are born in the United States. This is not an area that's a high immigrant area. This is an area that has mostly native-born folks who speak Spanish at home. And only 3% have an associate's degree or higher. And the district is very economically disadvantaged, and but does not have a huge number of students above the state average for limited English proficiency. So the purpose of our survey was to assess parent support for school-based teen pregnancy prevention programming and to assess the parent preferences for the content. This survey was developed over 2 years in a collaborative process with a committee of about 10 parents who were active with us. And we were initially going to try to keep it really, really simple, just a one-page, front-page survey, but they really, really wanted to get some data on what the parents wanted included in the program, not just sort of the overall what type of program they wanted. So it was a one-page paper survey. It was really very challenging to get everything they wanted in the survey. We really let the parents lead this process because we felt like it was important. This was not a purely CBPR project, but we certainly borrowed heavily from the model in making sure that the parents led the design and the development of the survey instrument. And they wanted a lot on that survey. And we were trying to constantly prune, like, well, we know you want to include all this stuff, but we got one page to get it, so let's try to keep it short. And we ended up with this survey. It's one page front and back. And we sent it home in Spanish and in English. We surveyed parents in 3rd through 12th grade. The parents that we are working with did not want to send the survey home to parents who were under 3rd grade. They were really uncomfortable with the idea of surveying kindergarten parents. And we wanted the full sample, but we respected their choices. We selected one classroom per grade per campus. This district has about 14 elementary schools, but then they have 2 middle schools and 1 high school. There's a big attrition of students from elementary through high school. We attached the survey to the first 9 weeks report card. Elementary school students have to get their report card signed. Middle and high school do not. So we were really hoping that we got surveys back from middle and high school. We're quite nervous. And this is how the survey looked. Those little pins should actually be checkmark boxes. But what you can see is that it was pretty dense. So we got 486 completed surveys that we could use in our sample. We actually got close to 540 surveys returned, but we excluded surveys when, if you've ever done survey design, you know you get some back where they only fill out the front, they only fill out the back. We excluded surveys where people didn't identify how many children they had and if they the number of children that they had, because we were concerned that we were getting some surveys back from kids in middle and high school. And I'm positive we got some of those back. So we were excluding the ones where people didn't identify which kids that they had. So we got 486 usable surveys back. That was a 40% return rate. That was much better than we had anticipated. Every single campus returned surveys, including the campus that was the alternative school for kids who had been kicked out of the regular program, the magnet schools, the campuses where they had girls who were already pregnant and parenting. Every single campus participated with very similar return rates. And what you can see is that 58% of the surveys that we included came from elementary schools. Like I explained, that's where the bulk of their campuses were, so this is what we expected. 21% of the surveys came from middle school and 21% came from high school. We asked parents, so where do you have students in the district? Most parents had at least 2 students in the district. It was about a 2.8 student per respondent average. So 75% of the respondents had at least 1 student in elementary, 46% had 1 student in middle, and at least 41% had at least 1 student in high school. So this was a broad sample of parents who represented folks at all grade levels. This represented a total of about 1,100 students. If you remember, the district only has about 7,000 students, so this was a pretty good sample. We were pleased. And so then the students that responded, 75% of the parents who responded chose to respond in English, but 25% of our responses came back in Spanish. 88% of the respondents were female. We were not too surprised by that. We wanted more men, but that was not surprising. 53% had a high school degree, but a little over a quarter of our sample had a college degree. And if you'll remember from the district as a whole, that means our sample was significantly more educated than the general district. Now, when I first got this back, I was really upset because I was like, oh, shoot, we only got the college-educated parents. But we started digging into it, and because this is a district, or this is an area that's undergoing sort of a rapid change in the sort of, not gentrification, that isn't what I would describe it as, because it's not shifting the racial composition, but there is sort of a movement of more educated folks who grew up in the area remaining in the area to parent. And so among people who are of the age group that they would have children in school, they are more educated. So though this is skewed more educated, it's not as badly skewed as I had initially assumed. 97% of our respondents were Hispanic. So do parents want school-based teen pregnancy prevention programming? Yes. In short, they did. They especially wanted it in middle and high school. When it came to elementary school, we only got 40% of parents who said that they wanted teen pregnancy prevention programming. I'll go into it in a second why we think that it's just that phrase, teen pregnancy prevention programming, that really threw them off. Would they allow their child to participate in teen pregnancy prevention programming in middle, high school, and elementary? And what you can see is that, again, overwhelmingly the sample of parents said, yes, we would allow our children to participate. So what type of programming do they want? Oh, you can't see the top. This is one of those graphs that we presented and we developed for the school board to just say, like, really, we're serious. They really, really, really want there to be teen pregnancy prevention programming. And so over 90% of the respondents said that they thought it was important that this type of education was provided to their students. And how important is it that the programming be evidence-based? So if you know anything about Texas, you know that we're not so great with implementing evidence-based sexual health programs. And we put a definition in there that we went back and forth with the parents on about, like, what does evidence-based mean? Is it it's programming that has been shown to be effective in reducing teen pregnancies? And the parents overwhelmingly wanted programs that had been proven to be effective, which we thought was great. Now, what was not so great was that one of the big sort of disagreements between the health department and the district was that the district wanted to use active consent. Active consent is where all parents have to return a consent form saying, yes or no, I want my child to participate. Obviously, that really decreases the number of people who participate in your program, because if you know anything about middle and high school students, they're terrible about getting forms back. So the health department really wanted them to go to passive consent, which is only people who want their kids to opt out of the programming need to return a form. The district was not comfortable with that, so we put this question on here thinking, like, oh, parents will be okay with passive consent because that's what previous surveys had showed. Well, they weren't. 80% of the parents really wanted active consent. The parents in this sample, much more than any survey I participated in, about 50% of the surveys, we had people write stuff in. And what a lot of them said is, I want something that has to do with, can you have me have a workshop? Can I talk to my parents? The parents really, really wanted to be engaged with this type of programming. And so they really wanted active consent. So do parents want school-based teen pregnancy? What type of school-based teen pregnancy prevention programming do they want? Do they want abstinence only, or do they want abstinence plus, which is defined as that teaches abstinence is the best method for avoiding STDs, but that also discusses condoms and contraception in the context of risk reduction. And so what we found is that parents overwhelmingly wanted abstinence plus education, and that this did not vary significantly by the language of response. This was very important because this was a big sticking point for the district. They were concerned that their Spanish-speaking parents, they perceived them to be more conservative and that they would not want to have this type of programming. And this is very messy. We tried a bunch of different ways to present it, but basically what we did is we said, okay, here's all of these topics. We whittled it down from, we initially had a list of 62 topics that the parents wanted to find out when they wanted to be taught, and we whittled it down to this list. And we basically said, okay, here are all these different topics, here are all these different things that we could talk about in teen pregnancy prevention programming. When do you want us to introduce them first? And what we found was that the topics that are on the left, which you can see go from abuse to media, are the topics that the parents said they would prefer to be taught first in elementary school. If you remember from the other graph about when do parents want teen pregnancy prevention programming, only 40% wanted the programming in elementary, but they want the topics to start in elementary. So the district took this information and felt much more comfortable with introducing more comprehensive education in elementary school. And then if you look at this list of topics on the right, these are the topics that they want to be taught in middle school. So risk reduction, puberty and anatomy, frankly, we were like, well, I'm sorry, that's got to be in middle school. I mean, that's got to be in elementary school. But what you can see is that risk reduction, STDs, resources, which in the definition that we included was things about where to find access to contraception, they want included in middle school. So the big sort of money question for the district was, what do they think about condoms? And so we had two questions that specifically asked about condoms and contraception, risk reduction and the definition of abstinence plus. 74% of parents wanted risk reduction taught in middle school. 72% wanted abstinence plus. And again, these numbers did not vary significantly by the language of respondents. So in summary, the parents wanted teen pregnancy prevention programming that starts in middle school and continues into high school, is evidence-based and includes a parent component, and allows them to provide active consent. They also want programming that provides abstinence plus programming that includes a discussion of condoms and contraception. And this sample of Hispanic parents mirrored previous results of all parents, regardless of language, regardless of racial and ethnic background. And parent preferences were similar regardless of the language of respondent. And the survey resulted in the adoption of an evidence-based program at both the middle and high school level for the district that we did the survey in. It also resulted in the adoption of evidence-based programming in the neighboring district that had very similar demographics that had the same sort of sticking point issue. And those programs are being implemented in the next few months. So we're really pleased with that. Okay, so if you have any questions, this is my contact information, and Mario with the city would also love to talk about the survey and the work he does. Thank you.